We're back on the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks, as always, for listening this week. Miami-Dade County again finds itself at the center of a national debate over immigration and law enforcement. This week, the American Civil Liberties Union sued the county, claiming Garland Creedle spent an extra night in jail when the county was asked by Immigration and Customs Enforcement to keep him locked up. The trouble is, according to the lawsuit, the 18-year-old is a U.S. citizen. Now, all this stems from action the county took earlier this year to honor detention requests from immigration authorities. The county followed an executive order from President Trump over fears about not doing so would cost it federal funding. So how are these detention requests being followed in South Florida? Doug Hanks joins us from our studios inside the Miami Herald in Doral. Doug covers the Miami-Dade County government for the Herald. What do we know, Doug, about this 18-year-old Garland Creedle, the man the ACLU says was unlawfully kept one extra day or night in jail?
Well, he was arrested in a domestic violence incident, and he had come to the country about 2 years earlier, born in Honduras, to a father who's a U.S. citizen. The lawsuit said that he, because of that, enjoyed automatic U.S. citizenship, and that the Department of Homeland Security confirmed that in a 2015 hearing when he had just come to the country. But for whatever reason, he was in this database that triggered a request by the immigration authorities to detain him because they wanted to deport him. And that request, the county honored, as is its new policy. Before Trump took office, the policy was to essentially ignore them. Right. And so then here we are.
And so then here we are. The ACLU was alerted to this case one way or the other and has made the lawsuit claim now. So do we know how Creedle got on this ICE detention list if he is a U.S. citizen?
Yeah, that I don't know. We asked. Yeah. And it's interesting. One thing that the lawyers for him point out is, you know, the fact that he's a U.S. citizen really doesn't have any bearing on our case. I think, frankly, it just makes a better story. I mean, when you file these things, you look for the best plaintiff you got.
Sure.
And certainly it was a good headline. But what they say is, listen, these detention requests ask a local jail to hold, to imprison someone who by definition is free to go, right? They only kick in once the whatever you're being held on for the local charge, whatever local charge right. brought you to jail, once that's done, then the jail agrees to hold you for an extra 2 days until the feds can come pick you up.
It's a jurisdiction problem that we saw highlighted in January and February in Miami-Dade County.
Yeah, and one of the arguments that the critics made when this was such a big controversy before the county commission was, you know, you want to just say, well, this is illegal immigrants and, you know, that's a separate group. But they say, no, this is going to ensnare legal immigrants, you know, people that are sort of in the system of the immigration paperwork and somehow, because of a clerical mistake, end up on a detainer list. Yeah. Yeah. And they're going to be jailed, you know, without criminal charges in Miami-Dade County.
What do we know about the detention requests that the county has received since this late January change in policy by the county?
Well, they come in fairly often, and they apply to people who are picked up for minor charges, but still serious enough that they end up in jail, right? That's the key thing to remember.
Yep, yep.
A detainer
request.
This isn't happening
at the point of encounter between law enforcement
Correct.
And the person. In other words, it's not, you know, on the street corner running a red light, that kind of thing.
Correct. But you do see people driving without a license. Anything that can get you to a local jail and booked, that's when you're fingerprinted. Those records go everywhere in the world, I guess. And one of the places they go is to immigration and custom enforcement. And then if your name is popping up on that list, they are going to shoot you a detention request, say, please hold that person. We think that they might be here illegally, and we might want to deport them. And so the county is now holding them.
We're 6 months into this change of policy for Miami-Dade County. Do you know how many detention requests it has received and how many it's
honored? I do, but I don't have it in front of me. Sorry.
I think it was about 350 or so,
yeah,
give or
take. Yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
Yeah. And is that any sense of the volume? Is that extraordinary for a county the size of Miami-Dade? Do we have any sense of the scale of that?
No, you know, I really don't.
Yeah.
But what the county says is, You know, we were willing to honor at least some of these under the old policy, but we had this rule that if the feds didn't pay for the extra jail time, we were to decline it. But the old policy said that we were only going to honor them if it was someone charged with a really serious offense. Now there, it's any offense. And this is all leading towards a larger legal question that will be resolved high up the federal court system. So there's been some, you know, sort of legal setbacks for the detainer request, and they changed the paperwork to try to comply. So this fight will ultimately be resolved in Washington, probably.
Right, at a federal level. Yeah. A local judge did rule this spring that the Miami-Dade detention policy was unconstitutional. And the county said, I believe, Doug, right away, it was going to appeal that decision. So we've already kind of seen that begin to work its way up in the court system, right?
Right. I think that's a fairly typical legal challenge, and it's just working its way up the, I guess, up the state system.
What's next in the Creedle case at this point for this this young man the ACLU says was unlawfully detained?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, he's suing for damages and suing for a legal ruling. So there's nothing happening with him. You know, he's just whatever his connection was to the criminal case. But we'll, this will be yet another sort of high level legal debate about the about these detention requests.
Doug Hanks, watching county government in Miami-Dade County for our partner, the Miami Herald. Thanks, Doug. Always great to have you on the Roundup.
Thanks for having me.
Finally, on this week's Roundup, it was 7 years ago this weekend when the Big Three era began for the Miami Heat. And this week, it officially ended with the Heat releasing Chris Bosh. Bosh was the last of the trio that included LeBron James and Dwayne Wade to leave the team. For Bosh, it has to be a bittersweet exit. He had missed all of last season and big chunks of the two previous seasons because of blood clots. We talked to some Heat fans this week about Bosh's exit.
I was hoping that he would be better and that the team could keep him. He's an asset to the Miami Heat. It makes me feel like that now we lost it all. I hope to keep watching and hopefully fall in love with other players.
I thought Bosh already left. I thought it was a whole big thing. I was never okay with it. I just thought it already happened. You know, I always wanted three to stay. At one point, you're not going to have the originals anymore.
All three should have left at the same time. It would have been better. But it's going to be a long time, I guess, before we get back. Go Heat!
For four seasons, Bosh, Wade, and LeBron reigned over South Florida sports, bringing back two NBA championships in the process. They were the three kings while it lasted, weren't they? But as sports dynasties go, this was really a short one. It was less of an era and more of a term. This is how it goes in modern professional sports. It's capitalism, not constancy, performance over faith, results rather than allegiance. And the stakes are just too high for all this, and now the last of the Big Three is officially gone. This trio certainly had plenty of swagger. They called themselves the Heatles, Kings of South Beach, Miami Thrice. But off court, Bosh was curious and community-minded. Back in 2013, he told Wired magazine, quote, "At some point, most pro athletes have to ask themselves, what if it doesn't work out? In my case, I'd like to teach young kids computer science and coding. The younger, the better." Well, now's the time. This is the Florida Roundup on WLRN. Thanks for listening.